There are times when you try to listen and hear that still voice, and it's just a tad challenging. The business of the world, all the things taking place around us, sometimes we just can't seem to put all the pieces in the right place. I sat there this morning as we're moving towards this moment, and with our announcement from the committee, with the food, with the treatments, with all that God is at work doing, there is so much that you as a church need to give thanks to God for. You probably can't appreciate the significance of the committee's report. But I can, because what I've done for the last 13 years is tried to watch churches work through this. And to be at a place where there is agreement that God has spoken to both parties and a sense that God's hand is at work is truly something that is beyond amazing. Because the day in which we serve the enemy is so alive and well, and he has such opportunity to influence, that there's probably somebody out there, even right now, saying, well, you know what, I want to know the name. You ever get one scoop of ice cream, and it's so good you want two?
Every time.
Every time. And you get to that point where you think, well, if I just had a third scoop, man, it'd be awesome. You know, and I know it's not true, unless it's different flavors. I'm just going to take a second, a personal privilege, and I'm going to coach just a minute before we get into the message. If you aren't happy not knowing the name, get over it. Is that loving? Yeah, I'll be gone soon. This is a confirmation. Here's my point. We need to stop for a moment and with hands before heaven say, thank you that you haven't forgotten us, Lord. Amen? And it's okay to want to know, and if I offended you, I'm sorry. I'll work harder at hurting you more. My days are running short. This is being nice too long is really getting on my nerves. What I want to do right now, though, is that I want to, because my heart's just overrunning, I just want to corporately stop for a moment with you. And I want you to just join me, if you would. And we want to thank God and make sure God knows how thankful we are. Would you just, if you're comfortable, raise your hands. If not, just raise them low. If not, just whatever you feel comfortable doing. And let's just close our eyes for a moment. And let's reflect on the glory of God. Let's think about the song that we heard. Let's think about the pictures of creation. Let's think about all that God is at work doing. And Lord, we've gathered for worship this morning because we know nowhere else to turn but to you. Lord, we have no wisdom, we have no knowledge, we have no understanding of our own that's of any merit and any wisdom that is of any value, but we know you. And Lord, we pray you today would hear our surrendered and broken heart. And as we cry out to you, we want to say, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you for what we see you doing daily in this church. And thank you for a servant, a provision, a shepherd, one who rightly divides truth, who you've spoken to his heart. And Lord, we pray that you'll help him because his heart will be torn in these next weeks. And there's a part of him that has loved his flock, has nurtured his flock, who's walked alongside them. And Lord, that's not easy to walk away from. But he knows you are sending him. And so, Father, we pray right now, comfort his heart, guard his family. Father, protect that church and help it be a sweet, sweet time of celebrating your call to a new assignment. And Lord, I pray in this place that we will not be selfish, but we will be thankful. That we will not be anxious, but that we will be patient. And that we will understand that transitioning is a challenge. And from my heart, Lord, I know, and as many who have served know, it is the most difficult of time and the most exciting of time. And so, Father, I pray for our hearts to be in tune with yours. And let us be surrendered, and let us be patient, and let us be loving, and let us celebrate that today we know you have spoken and you have put together something we believe is going to bring great glory and honor to you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You know, when you pray with your hands up and you hadn't been exercising, just saying. And part of what it does is it reminds us how desperately we need him. And we come to this fifth command, this fifth reminder, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And now we have these five that he has said, do this. And I appreciate the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. And now today, do everything in love. Do everything in love. Being loving makes all of those other reminders work. It's very important as we think through the journey that this love complements and balances each of those commands. And we find that the question posed, what God is, 1 John and 4, 7 and 8 reminds us that God is love. And I think one of the greatest wonderful attributes of being a follower of Christ is that I have discovered and you have discovered authentic love. For in the condition we were in, we were loved. In the condition, in the defiance, in the rebellious nature, in the sinfulness of our flesh, in that condition, we were loved. And making a choice to call upon his name, discovering we were chosen, however you put all of that together, it's a wonderful journey to know that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient and that his love is amazing. What God is, he's love. In that fourth chapter in 1 John, verse 7 and 8, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Then everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Important that we understand that the encouragement of the passage is that we are to love one another. Because of the love, the amazing love and grace and mercy in our lives, that he would even love us is amazing. So our need to love one another, God gives it to us today, we need to give it away. I think the greatest attribute of this passage reminding us to love one another is that it isn't so amazing that we loved him, but that he loved us. And because he loves us, we should love others. There is the church that is making a testimony in the world today. Not a place where we say what you want to hear, not a place where we tickle your ears, not a place where we tell you what you want and you think you need, but rather what you need from the teaching of Scripture, the truth. And that truth will set you free. And being sure that we love one another means I understand where you are. If you're here this morning and you haven't personally accepted Christ, then it is not in the makeup of your spirit to be able to unconditionally love, because you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. So when I encounter people that can't love others, I don't need to be angry. I don't want to get even. I want to appreciate that's their journey. They don't know how to love. For when we are filled with the love of Christ, we can't, knowing Christ, we can't not love. Now, I can choose to be disobedient. People do that every day. It's a scary thing to find people making choices that have consequences and realize they're going to live with those consequences. And probably the older I've gotten and the more I've served, the thing that breaks my heart the most is as I watch followers of Christ make very poor choices, and those poor choices are going to carry a consequence, and people will stand and say, that's just how it is. Good luck. God bless you. There's a consequence to behavior that's defiant to God. And he will prove his point in a way that brings him glory. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at people and I think, well, Lord, aren't you going to go ahead and do that now? It would sure make me feel a lot better if you would, because they need to know that now. But for the glory of God and for his mercy and grace and for what he's teaching, he does it in the time that brings him the most honor and the most glory. So our responsibility is to understand this. Loving one another is very important, and loving one another is that we give it away. And we were born to know. And it's a contrast of the Gnostics who had an intellectual knowledge and yet real knowledge. We are to be a window to the world, which God loves, shines through us, which God's love is shining through us. So if we're born, we know. If we don't know, then we're not born. It becomes very important to understand that the absence of Christ dwelling in us is where we fail to be able to do what he did for us, for others, because it's not present. Our existing to be a window and to be a light is the plan, supernatural plan of God for a world to know that God is love. The food. Now, get ready, because you'll take food to people. They'll open some, not all, but they'll open and they'll say, but that's not the mashed potatoes that I want. If you've served long enough, you've been through that. And there's a part of me that's still not completed yet. And I want to help them. But God tries me constantly to prove to me that I've got to get there to where I can say, well, what else could I do for you? And smile the entire time. That's a challenge. But it's because people are hurting desperately and the pain is real. And there's a sense in which pride enters in and no one wants to receive something free. I learned a valuable lesson when I was in West Virginia and working with the president there at Appalachia Bible College. And I was all fired up and I'm all ready to do and I'm ready to bring the rescue and I want to come help those folks. And one of the things that he said to me, he said, Rick, you're going to have to temper that with the love of Christ, because nobody wants to be put upon nor made to feel less than whole. So there's an art in loving as you give. It isn't about you've got something and you're going to help them out. It's that you love them and you want to share what you have so they can also find joy. So as you go in this week and as you go and visit with folks, remember to be sensitive to where they are. Learn the art of listening. Hear where their pain really is, not what they say. How do you deal with folks that in the course of the day today, while you're even here at church, you'll run into folks and you'll say, well, how you doing? We're doing great. Everybody has that pat answer, doing fine. When I was a student pastor, I got annoyed by it. I just found it awkward because I get tired of people saying stuff I knew they weren't telling the truth. So one Sunday, I tried it out. I'm going down the hall of this large church, and I'm encountering people, and they say, how you doing? And I say, my dog died, and they say, that's great. Now, you know you've been there. They're not listening. They're lying. But it's socially the right thing to do. Now, I agree, it's kind of challenging when somebody starts to tell you everything that's wrong. You've seen those people too. There's only so much time in a conversation that you can interact and do the other things you need to do, and it would be very wise often to say, hey, that sounds very serious. Could we meet at another time? Because if not, they will go on for hours trying to tell you all those problems. But you want to be sensitive to it. You want to be caring. You want to love. You want to love because the Spirit dwells in you. You want to know. And if you don't know, then you need to be born. And that's what you pray for. There's that sense in which you want to be that picture of love that the Lord is, and you want to be able to encourage, and you want to be able to be a source of His love for others. I was reminded this week as I was preparing for this message, I have a little note that I have copied, and it was from our son when he was about 5 years old. So I took a little picture of it and sent it to him this week, and he loves it when I embarrass him. You know, he's a grown man. He's got his, you know, son and work and practice and all that. And he said, Dad, thanks for making me cry at work. I really appreciate it. But it's just a little thing. And he just wrote a little note. And it said, the toy is broke. Can you fix it? And he left a little blank and he put his name in. Like I wouldn't know who he was, right? But it was just tender. It's one of those sweet little moments. And it was a little toy. It had a little stick, balsa stick, and a little blade on the top. And you did like this, and it would lift up. It's just a little toy. And lift up. And it was broke. And he brought it to me, and he wanted me to fix it. Now, that's not possible. I have two left hands. When I made models growing up, I burned them. You know, race cars, I'd make race car models and I would burn them because I'd get glue on my fingers and I'd stick the decals in the wrong places and I'd get irritated and I would say, well, let's have it look like it was in a wreck instead of being a detailed, beautiful, final product. So fixing something like that wasn't going to be an easy task. But I remembered I bought two when I bought the one. And so I was able to take the one that was still working and give it to him, and it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I pulled it off. Now I'm wrestling with whether to tell him that or not, because he thinks I fixed it. It was awesome. My point is this: God can fix anything that's broken, because He's God, and because He does it for His glory. And we want to be thankful and reminded, oh, there is a God who can take and fix this. And my friend, He can. But He doesn't always fix it the way we want. Sometimes there's four treatments. Sometimes that process goes on for a lot longer than we want. But God fixes it so that we're fixed. In our heart, He can handle the body like that. But He wants to grow us in His likeness. And He wants to make in us character that will bring glory and honor to Him. That's because we know Him. And He knows us. And because we know Him, God is love. And we want to be that for others. And we want to encourage those. And we want to be a light to them and encourage them in that process. And sometimes it just appears to be an impossibility. But it's not, because it's God. And what God did, number two, what God did, we find in verse 9 through 11, and this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see, what God did was He sent His Son. And He sent His Son as proof. Jesus Christ is the visible proof. And we're so thankful that we were able to know that he loved us that much that he sent Christ. When we think about celebrating Thanksgiving, when we think about the season before us and we celebrate the Christ child, we must remember that God so loved us, he wanted to prove his love, and he proved it so clearly in the person of Christ. Now here's the sad truth to the story. You know that story so well, you're complacent with it. You often get tired of hearing it over and over again, but listen, it becomes alive and fresh and real to one who has been in a desert without forgiveness. And so don't ever get tired of telling that story, but more importantly, don't ever tire of living out that story. That's where the joy is. When you get in that case where many get, that you're burned out, you're tired, you just can't. I heard a story just this week, and I got so tickled. Pastor was really frustrated because there were people in his church that were struggling, and they were very depressed with the season. And that happens. It's a time of the year a lot of people get. This one lady particularly was really struggling, and she asked for an appointment, and she came in with the appointment, and she began to just go on and on and on and on and on about all her problems. Wise pastor, when she finished talking, which took a while, he said, "I want you to bake 3 dozen cookies and then come see me next week." Now, I'm thinking when I heard that, that's smart. Should have said chocolate chip or maybe pound cake or, you know, something that I would like. She complained, left. Next week, scheduled appointment, she didn't show. Another week passed, didn't show. Finally, the pastor saw her at church, and he said, "Oh, by the way, you've missed 2 appointments. She looked at him and said, "Pastor, I haven't got time to come in for my appointment with you, because since I've been giving away all those cookies, there are a lot of people really messed up out there." What she discovered is that when she gave away, she had the privilege to minister. And when you minister, you're not rolling and whining in your problem, which most of the time is not a problem at all. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a need to tell the pastor about a problem. There's nothing wrong. But take the advice. Minister to someone besides yourself. I promise you, when you get the picture of God loved us as we were, and because he did, we then love them where they are, you become very fulfilled in your journey. Now, if you don't know how to make cookies, find someone who does. Nothing worse than getting those cookies and you bite into them and go, "Really?" Proof. And as a priority. Not that we love God, but that he loves us. An atoning sacrifice for our sin. Love originates with God. Hear me. Not man. Most of my counseling ministry is trying to help people who are confused about their being the source of love. You can't work up a good case of unconditional love. You just can't do it. Now, unfortunately, I discovered that early in my journey. I'm not hard-hearted, but I'm just very practical. And so one of the things that began to become very evident to me is that it is so critical that I help people understand that at the source of authentic love is the Lord Jesus Christ, not the wisdom of man. For a church to enjoy the journey of falling in love with a pastor, remember this: let God handle that. Don't overwork it. Don't overstrain. Don't feel as though you've got to do all of this stuff. Don't wear him out. Don't Don't be in such a hurry for him to know your name. Give him some room. I'm just speaking from personal experience. Give him some time. Trust me, some of you, he will learn your name much faster than you want. Think that through. What he needs, what you need, what we all need is a reminder that the source of love is God, is Christ. And it's through that that we find this that can originate authentically, and we can find ourselves fulfilled in the journey. Because when he renews my heart, then I have the love to love with that we all need. I had a friend draw like this, a triangle. And on the triangle, at one of the bottom corners, some mathematician could help me, I'm sure there's a term for that. But at this corner, the triangle, what is it? Somebody say it, what is it? Acute angle. Thank you. Joe, that's good. So put your name there. And then on the other side, put the person you're trying to have a relationship with there, put their name there. And understand that that relationship between the two of you is always going to be strained and will always be a mess. But when you put God at the top of the triangle as a priority in the relationship, if my heart and God is together, I can love anybody unconditionally. But when my heart and God isn't on one page together, we struggle. And most won't receive biblical counsel unless their heart and God is right. And what's even more difficult, if that person doesn't have a relationship with Christ. So rather than trying to wear yourself with all this New Age stuff and all this feel-good stuff and all these volumes and volumes of books, listen, pray for people to be genuinely saved. Pray for the peace that passes all understanding that comes when a person that doesn't have hope finds hope through a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. Therein is the mystery of all of it. Now, if you have a chemical issue, that's a different story, but it's still founded with the same principle. You must understand that unless you personally have encountered Christ, found forgiveness of your sin, you will never be at peace with yourself nor with anyone else. So you try to work that relationship and it won't work because it's not properly balanced. So what I can do is control myself. Amen? So work hard on ourselves that we get right our heart and that the priority be Christ and understand that priority being the Lord Jesus and the difference that it makes. And the last thing is that we look at is what is God doing? And the great news this morning is that God is abiding in us. That abiding in us is the work the Holy Spirit does. And because the Holy Spirit does that, we find great strength and great encouragement because that's how God planned it. Abiding in us, he's able to do and accomplish what needs to be done for his glory and for his honor. If we can continue to remember that a mutual love for others is the manifestation of an authentic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can then also remember that if we make right our heart, then he will do what he's promised that he would do. And he will heal, and he will make right, and he will help us in that ability to love one another. I know this. The church is alive. And it's well, and it's moving all across the world. And oftentimes it's moving more aggressively where there is persecution. And in the look at our world, where people have become complacent and have become self-serving and have become concerned about all revolving around me, there is the absence of the power and the freshness of God to be at work. So let's bring it home. Tomorrow, this afternoon, when you encounter people, don't be afraid to smile. Matter of fact, let's practice before you go. Right? You got it? You have no idea how helpful it is When you meet somebody who's not feeling real well and you smile, they either think you're lying or you're up to something no good. But it's a great place to start. Now, one other little thing I just think would be awesome. Listen to what you encounter. I say this in jest, but it's also a principle that works. God didn't make a mistake. He gave you how many ears? Two. And how many mouths? Just saying. If you listen twice as much as you talked, you might find out something you can do to help someone. And if you're listening and you happen to hear what they really say, that's another lesson, another workshop, but hear what they really say, then act on it. I've already thought of two Christmas presents I need to give somebody because of something they've said in the last week. Because I was listening. I heard somebody mention something and I thought, wow, that doesn't take much, but that will send a loud message that I heard what they were saying. So that's this being love and loving one another. And if you don't have love balancing all the other, you can be as straight as a gun barrel, but just as empty. And we don't want to be there. We don't want to be accurate, right, but empty. And the hope is that we will remember that we're approaching a season where there's a lot of hurting people that are looking for an answer. And if we, by any stretch of the imagination, plan on reaching our world for Christ, we're going to need to look a lot more like Jesus and a lot less like ourselves. When you think about how simple it is to simply smile, to listen, and then to act, it changes your environment. It changes the flavor of a church. I know this book better now than I used to, but I still don't know it all. And God daily teaches me a lesson. As I read it, I think, is that me? Is that the example that he's looking for? And sometimes it's just the simplest of truths, and we read over them, and then we forget them. Let's stand and let me read this as we close. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not dwell in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it also always perseveres. Love never fails. Thank God that that's His love, not mine, not yours. The author, the finisher of our faith, drew the picture. He is that for each one of us. And we should have that for others. Father, that's the desire of our heart. Oh, how we want to please you. Oh, how we want you to be glorified. Lord, each bag that's carried, each phone call that'll be made, each visit that takes place, oh, we want it to be more than just our showing up. We want it to be more than just someone saying kind things about us because we did that. We want it to be your glory and your honor seen We want a lost, hurting world to know that there still is hope in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we pray today, may we be a people who will live that way, walk that way, and share that way. Father, if there are any within the sound of my voice here this morning, and they're wrestling and their heart's beating a little fast, there's some sweat in the palm, and there's this reality of, you know what, I need to know for sure. We want you to know for sure. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to make it awkward. But if you want to come forward at the end of the service, we're here for you. We'll take a moment, pray with you, share with you, explain to you how much God loves you and how he plans a great work in your life. Don't leave without hearing how much he loves you and how he will forgive you if you call upon his name. May that be seen this season, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.